Hello and welcome to the Vinyl Exam, the podcast about vinyl records and the people who collect them. I'm your host, Sam Ahmed. This is part two of my season four opener about the Legends of Benin compilation album that I got from Analog Africa. If you have not, go back to our last episode, episode 151, and check out part one, where I discuss two of the four legendary band leaders on the compilation, El Rego and Nonas Pedro. In part two, I will highlight the other two guys, Antoine Dogbe and Honoré Avolonto. Everyone will forgive you if you have never heard the name Antoine Dogbe. Even when Sami Ben Rajab, the founder of Analog Africa and the guy who put together this compilation, even when he asked around Benin for music by Antoine Dogbe, the response that he got was, "Antoine who?" I think Ben Rajab was kind of surprised to get this response, given what he knows about Dogbe's influence on Afro music. Dogbe created his own style, at times inspired by Congolese rumba, Cuban son, and the traditional Beninese rhythms of the time. And he called this style Afro-Kavacha. This is actually my first time hearing the term Kavacha. It's a type of fast rhythm found in pop music of Zaire, and it was used in the early 1970s by the drummer for the band Zaiko Langa Langa. The drummer's name was Belobi Mardijo, and he wanted to replicate the sound of a speeding train. Side note here, for all the hip-hop and funk people listening, you've probably heard of the famous drummer Bernard Purdy, who played with practically every major musician in the 1960s and 70s here in the U.S., from Aretha Franklin to James Brown, everything in between. I once heard Purdy in an interview mention that he lived near the train tracks as a kid and would try to keep rhythm by copying the sound of the train as it passed by his house. And he identifies this as being the seed that later developed into his legendary Purdy Shuffle. So there are likely many drummers out there finding inspiration in the rhythmic sounds of trains. And if you know of any, let me know and I promise to do a podcast about it. But back to Antoine Dogbe. It turns out that aside from the name, Dogbe's Afro-Kavacha had little to do with the Kavacha popularized by Zaire and syndicated throughout Africa via the nation radio station transmitters known as Tam Tam d'Afrique. Three of the four tracks on this compilation count as Kavacha tunes. But the fourth song really stands out. It's, as Sami Ben Rajab puts it, a kind of Beninese rock steady. It was arranged by the Cameroonian guitarist Luis Wasson, and Ben Rajab considers it to be the best reggae track to come out of Africa. I mean, it's clearly saying a lot, even if Ben Rajab thinks almost all African reggae is pretty average, to quote him. But this track, he considers a masterpiece. When Ben Rajab was trying to get the licensing for Dogbe's music, he spoke with a guy named Melome Clement, Mello. And when he asked Mello about Dogbe, all he got was a strange expression. He just gave him a weird look. A year later, Mello connected with Ben Rajab, and he entered his room, and with him he carried a small stack of LPs by Dogbe, including Dogbe's first record, which was released in 1980 on his own label called Editions Dogbe Antoine. Ben Rajab considers this to be one of the best records ever released in Benin. And as he put the album on the turntable, Mello picked up the album cover, turned it over, smiled to himself, and said, quote, "I arranged all those songs," unquote. Ben Rajab turned to Mello and asked him about Dogbe again, and specifically why Mello had that strange facial expression the first time he asked him about him. Well, it turns out that he was probably afraid of being cursed. You see, Dogbe's father was a powerful and feared voodoo priest. You probably heard of voodoo. It was something very similar coming out of the West African tradition. He practiced for a few decades and apparently taught his son Dogbe all the secrets and rituals which he apparently used to control his friends and bandmates. Melo said that if there was even a slight misunderstanding, that Dogbe would likely hex you. If he didn't like you, you were hexed. But if he liked you, then he would protect you with all his powers. Even Melo went over to his house to seek protection, and Dogbe would rub oil on him and have him swallow bizarre stuff and give him charms to take home with him. Apparently, Dogbe openly called himself the Devil's Prime Minister, and this created some sort of intense musical environment because Dogbe's bandmates, who were strong believers, were deathly afraid of him. They didn't want to mess up anything at all when they rehearsed, because they were afraid of being hexed or cursed. I mean, that is a fantastic motivation right there to get the songs just right. Unfortunately, Dogbe died in 1996 when he was only 49 years old. He had psoriasis of the liver and was on holiday in Cotonou. Here's that reggae track that Sammy Ben Rajab loved so much. The final legend on our list is Honoré Avolonto, and he's likely to be the greatest of the four. Unlike the other three Beninese musicians, Honoré never had his own band, but he composed and arranged music for practically every other band in the country. He would produce a hit, then tour with the band until that hit ran out of steam. Then he'd go back home, compose another hit, and repeat the cycle. Honoré started his musical career really early. It was shortly after his parents moved to Togo. And there, his first instrument was a pair of bongos that he made out of materials he found in his parents' kitchen. In Togo, he would climb over the walls and sneak into concerts to catch Ghanaian musicians playing highlife music. It was his first major influence. Apparently, one time he got caught and was severely beaten, but that didn't stop him. By the time he was 16 years old, he started sneaking into the venue way before the band started, and he took his bongos with him this time. When the concert started, he would play percussion off stage, and eventually one of the bands asked him to join them. He would then become a permanent member. This story pulls at my heartstrings because in San Francisco, I got my start playing percussion for the band Brass Animals in almost the same way. By the time Honoré was 20, he moved back to Benin and joined the Belouse Jazz Band. He drove taxi during the day and played music at night. He would later be invited to play with one of Benin's top groups, Les Volcans de la Capitale, from Porto Novo. By the time he was 22, he tried to join Melo Clement's band, the same guy who we just talked about, who famously arranged music for Antoine Dogbe. But Melo said no. They already filled the spot with another talented young man named Lohento Esquil. But just 2 years later, Melo's band would eventually back Honoré on four songs that he released as 245s. He got paid almost nine times what he would make driving his taxi for a month. And so it made sense that he would quit driving and become a musician full-time. He moved back to his hometown and joined the Picobi band. They were so excited to have him. Actually, they were so excited that they gave him a bicycle. That way he would never miss practice. And the reason they were excited was because he was already gaining fame with his radio hit, Madrid Nombre. Picobi's band leader was excited to hear that Honoré had a bunch more music written that he didn't release. By the time Honoré was 28, he moved to Cotonou and joined the legendary Polyrhythm Orchestra. Throughout this entire period, he was writing and selling music, at times getting paid in goods instead of cash. And he would later release his own LP. It would become Benin's biggest selling record of all time. And all that before he turned 30 years old. No doubt, Honoré was a musical genius who touched in some way every Afrobeat note to come out of Benin. And here, I want to play you one of my favorite tracks on this Analog Africa compilation. I'm actually going to play the whole thing out because around the 7-minute mark, it goes into this really great breakdown that I want you to hear.
jahanu milenya ne fomodu sura bika mebeme sura biro mumbo mino mole ni koto pepe kikawe disa yigana tumembo mebi wino ndo peteshi teleko bo watu goye enu bi wino ndo peteshi afono toi ni jelia po mebi wino ndo kukuru amu yopo volu ndo kukuru amu mekwono ndo kukuru yeleko bo wabene mebi wino Sunabi, Sunabi asuka meni koto ino yororo tuupi wi amo koto kuno sawe amo atisa buno kono mewe upevi meni koto ino yororo ikpapiti abyo vole nino kakito bon.
Thank you for listening to part 2 of my feature on the Legends of Benin. Again, I want to thank Sammy Benrajab and Analog Africa for including such fantastic liner notes with the Legends of Benin compilation album. I got almost all the information for this episode from these liner notes. Make sure you visit analogafrica.com and check out their entire discography. I'm sure I'll be covering more of their work, more of their compilations and releases on the podcast as time goes on. Once again, my name is Sam Ahmed. You can catch us online using the handle @thevinylexam or email me at info@thevinylexam.com. We release new episodes on iTunes and SoundCloud, so make sure to subscribe. And special thanks, of course, to our Patreon supporters, Ian Wong and Brian Siebold, and to our executive producers, Austin Gray, Janine Cuevas, and my man, Ben Lack, of the band Brass Animals, which I used to play percussion for back in my time in San Francisco. I mean, you too can become a producer of our show by visiting our crowdfunding page, www.patreon.com/thevinylexam. Take care, and catch you next time.
Yenge ahe gbeche bele yenge surabi yenge ahe gbeche bele yenge surabi yenge ahe gbeche bele.